coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. We're recapping a lot of things, and I think I'm sadly moving from the state of positivity in paradise. I'll recap my week in Florida to a state of negativity. There's a lot of weird stuff going on in this week's episode. We get to some firepower on the PGA Tour in Vegas, the hoodie debate in golf. Pop politics is all over the map, talking the most famous fly in the world. This week's guest is Ryan John, a trick shot artist and pro golfer, also part of the Morning Read Content Network. Love this conversation with Ryan. Some cool pro shout outs as well, too, where he lives in Jupiter, Florida. And last but not least, we're talking Seinfeld food when we hashtag always end with food. And all of it brought to you by our friends at Active Body. Mike, I tell you about the Active Body all the time. It's the most simple way to keep in shape and do a quick 5 to 10 minute workout, stretch the muscles, stretch different parts of your body each and every day. It's a really cool portable device that I use every single day at 2 o'clock. It's an easy way to stay in shape and keep your body active for just a few minutes a day. Our promo code is COL for 20% off of your Active 5 unit. Again, a nice portable unit and a really easy way to stay in shape and do it fast. So shout out to our friends at Active Body and activebody.com, promo code COL.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Groove It Golf. I'm Michael. He's Alex. And Alex, you're back from Marco Island.
Yes.
Before we get to all the activity, let's just give me one thing. We'll talk about more of this later, but give me one thing before we get into the golf in Vegas. What was your lowest round of the week?
My lowest round was with my mom's golf clubs and sneakers. I didn't bring my golf shoes. And in typical golf fashion, I was playing with golf clubs designed for a 60-something-year-old woman. I couldn't hit the ball past 180 yards. And of course, I shot 79 with those, right? Because that's just the way the game of golf works.
I was going to say, you probably had the best round of your life. So
yeah, of course. Again, 2 years running with my mom's clubs. My mom now thinks that I should ship them from Florida to Texas. So that's the next development. We'll see if I just start playing with senior women's clubs moving forward. That might be the key to this whole thing.
Maybe. One thing is sure, though, you didn't get anywhere close to how low everyone went at the Shriners Open in Las Vegas. It was an incredible shootout there. Big names all over the leaderboard. What did you think of this weekend in Vegas?
24 under ended up winning it by the unknown Martin Laird. I had a few guys that were in contention, and this tournament usually does diverge into a birdie fest. But Saturday and Sunday really torpedoed that. We had a 10 under par from Matt Wolf. Shout out to the Wolf Pack. Yeah. I got him all the way into that playoff. Patrick Cantlay, Kevin Na had chances on Sunday. It was a three-way playoff with Wolf, Austin Cook, and Laird. And Laird ends up getting it done. I think it's his second or third PGA Tour win. He hasn't won in over 7 or 8 years. So good to see a journeyman like that get it done. And it was a nice little electric Sunday evening finish for those who caught it.
Yeah, there were a lot of names on the leaderboard that we knew of. Of course, past guest Nate Lashley, who was on after his win last year. We were watching him. He looked like he had a good chance there, just couldn't hold on as the weekend rolled on.
No, he could not. And obviously, the other name that I know that you want to get to is Bryson, who did kind of end up showing up on the leaderboard. He shot 18 under for the week, which is just like a weird, weird subtext for what actually happened with all the Bryson storylines. Like, I feel like a broken record, but he made his way back into the headlines on social media again with not only his performance on the course, but the things he was saying and doing.
Because once again, Bryson forgets that he is a star in one of the major sports in the world. And so there are going to be media following him and capturing every moment. So don't yell at the cameraman doing his job. Just don't.
Yeah, so it was Friday, and he had hit a putt past the hole and didn't seem too pleased with his round. It's ironic because, like I said, he ended up shooting 18 under and finishing in the top 10, but leave it to him to complain during a week like that. He hits the putt past the hole. And of course, Mike, you know, there's photographers out there and there's no fans out there. So yes, maybe you are, as you're hitting your putt past the hole, you're hearing the shutter of a camera lens going off from a cameraman who's behind the green. The cameraman was at least 30 yards away from Bryson, but Bryson felt the need to call him out and ask him, hey, you get enough pitchers over there? No, Bryson, he's not. He's actually going to take some more now that you said that. and just another weird Bryson versus the gallery versus the media. He's cameraman enemy number one right now. I know you're not on his side because of that. He's very much against the crew right now.
He the last incident that I remember, at least, was, of course, that one where he was trying to get out of the bunker and the camera crew was following him around. It was like, dude, first of all, those guys are part of what's giving you a paycheck every week, because if it isn't for the TV deal, professional sports aren't around.
Yeah.
So, pull your pants up, be a big boy and deal with it.
Exactly. The media brings the sponsors and the sponsors bring the money that he makes to these tournaments. So another interesting moment to catch from him. And of course, he was lighting up the course. TPC Summerlin has some shorter par fours. He drove a par four twice the ninth hole. That was 380 yards. People are now starting to wonder if he should wait for the green to clear on these par fours, because he's bouncing it onto the surface so much.
Well, is he going to do what the rest of us do, where we wait to people to clear? Because we're like, if I hit it right, I'm going to hit him, and then he's going to wait for them to clear, and then he's going to shank it, and it's going to go 20 yards off to the left.
Yes, and then we'll make fun of him for it. That's the cycle of life, isn't it?
Exactly. I can't wait for that.
One guy who doesn't like what Bryson is doing right now and kind of took a little bit of umbrage with it, Matthew Fitzpatrick, a European player we like, kind of shorter guy, doesn't hit the ball very long, and he kind of took a little bit of a jab while he was over at the BMW PGA towards Bryson and said that there's not a lot of skill going into what Bryson is doing. Threw a little barb there, and Bryson kind of inched back with it with a response 10 times as long, but Bryson just making one more enemy each week and dominating the headlines yet again, even when he doesn't win.
You know, there's no doubt to me that Bryson is very talented. He is taking advantage of the game right now in terms of being able to bulk up like he is, which I'm sorry, he's taking steroids. He's got to be taking steroids. he's taking advantage of everything in the game right now with everything going on. And he plays well, because, you know, it's one thing to bomb it out there. It's another thing to bomb it out there and hit the green. And it's another thing to have the touch around the greens that he does have and be a good putter that he is. So he has everything right. You know, he's almost like, okay, I'm going to compare him to somebody. You ready here? Ooh. Here's a blast from the past for the two of us from our childhood. He's the Barry Bonds of golf.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. People are starting to hit on him. He's not doing anything wrong. Well, actually, Barry was.
Technically.
But he's not doing anything.
Yes.
He's not going to get caught for doing anything wrong. He's not, you know, nothing like that. But nobody likes him. Okay. And he has all the Barry Bonds had all the pieces to be a great player. He just wanted to be a home run hitter. So he went out and he got steroids and he became a home run hitter when he was already a great hitter anyway. That's what Bryson's doing.
That 73 home run number, that does stick, though. People know that number for that season. Mm-hmm. No matter how he got it, that number is known. So there is a little bit of correlation there, and Bryson's putting up some insane numbers with his drives. One thing I do want to get to, because we touched on it last week, soft golf clap for the coronavirus police on the PGA Tour. Only one case. I thought Vegas could be a little bit of a shit show as we enter week two here of the PGA Tour in Vegas. Tony Finau, though, did test positive. Don't know if it was directly related to a craps table or a nightclub, but nonetheless, just that positive case kept him out of the Shriners Open last week.
I'm just disappointed it was Tony Finau.
I know. Yeah. A lot of people thought this might have been his week at a course he's familiar with, the Summerlin. So he has to take a pass. Don't think he's going to be playing Shadow Creek as well either this week. But that's the update from Shriners and Martin Laird. Shout out to him getting it done. You love to see a good journeyman who's been out on the tour his entire life, just itching for that moment when he can get the win. And he made a great putt in the playoff to do so.
Let's cross the pond and talk about the Euro Tour. And really what we need to talk about on the Euro Tour is Tyrrell Hatton's hoodie.
Yeah, yes. I can't believe this is a topic, but hoodies took over golf Twitter for some reason this weekend, where a lot of people are extremely offended by this sudden wardrobe that we're now seeing in professional golfers. Mm-hmm. And Tyrrell Hatton won the BMW PGA, which is like their major, and he did it while wearing a hoodie, and everyone started freaking out.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page here, Alex. So I'm going to speak, and then you can tell me if I'm wrong for speaking for you, which is that while we, I think, both feel that if you look the part, you can play better, in that sense of, like, if you look like you belong on the course, you're going to play better because you feel more comfortable.
Sure.
That said, wear whatever the hell you want.
Yes. Thank you. I know. It's like you and I, like, we enjoy wearing the nice golf pants and the nice golf shirt and the nice golf.
Yeah.
We like that. That's our uniform. That does not have to be everyone else's uniform. I can't tell you how annoyed I get when I'm like looking at a golf course and I see like 2 pages long of like dress code policy on a course. It bothers me to no end. And that's exactly the direction we don't want the game to go in 2020.
I feel like, though, there are two things I do not want to see on a golf course. I really don't want to see on the golf course. One is baggy jeans.
Fair.
I feel like I'd be okay. I wouldn't like jeans, but as long as they're fitted and they fit you, I'm
almost
good with that.
Almost
and
let then, baggy shorts go, but you're right. Baggy jeans does take it to a whole nother level.
I'm going to hang on to the denim theme here. Denim shorts, not cool.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, that's like, denim shorts is like Monday pitch and putt, and I'm carrying a couple beers around the course. Like, that's denim shorts, but not like 18 holes. Yeah.
Are shorts ever appropriate? I mean, ever in any part of life?
We can take the stance there. Wear what you want, but we can't go to jorts. I think that's going to be our motto for golf course wardrobe. But yeah, for some reason, hoodies became a huge project and a huge emphasis on Twitter this weekend. Wear whatever you want. Go ahead and congrats.
It's like what we keep saying. The whole point of why we talk about golf and we enjoy golf is to grow the game and to get more people to play it because we think it's great. So where would you want? You don't have to go spend if all you got in that you feel comfortable wearing is a hoodie and a pair of sweatpants, then wear a hoodie and a pair of sweatpants. I don't care. Go play the game.
And here's the thing, Mike, those hoodies were fresh. Those are nice. Those are not your average hoodie.
It actually was a really nice. It was a nice look that he had going on.
Probably like a $200 hoodie that we wouldn't even dream of buying. But yeah, shout out to them for rocking.
It was paid for by the sponsor. He didn't pay a dime for it. It was all the sponsor.
That's right. Yeah.
Let's move ahead to what's happening this week. Of course, they are staying in Vegas because what would have been in Corita is now being moved to Shadow Creek. The CJ Cup.
Yep.
Another loaded field. What are you more excited about, the field or live betting?
Yeah, that's a nice little headline too. You mentioned it at the top. Really, really great field. I sent you that tweet of guys like Jordan Spieth and Brooks Koepka needing sponsors exemptions to get into this field. That's how exclusive it was to get into the CJ Cup. Live betting, though, perfect in conjunction with them being in Vegas. MGM did a partnership with the PGA Tour. So essentially what this means, Mike, for you and I and the golf watching audience is not only can you now put a dollar or two on like who's going to win an 18-hole match or who you like in the tournament, they're going to have bets like, will Brooks Koepka hit the first fairway? Like you can just put money on shots randomly throughout the round. And there's going to be some really interesting wagering opportunities. It's going to make it very exciting for the viewer. So I'm looking forward to that aspect.
Can we do an over under on how many Barkey bets there are going to be?
Yes.
What's our chances on Barkeys for this?
Yeah, Barkeys, Sandys. I hope we're getting like some 3-putt bets in there. Like it could be shot to shot. Yeah. There's a lot of possibilities to what the future of golf wagering could look like, but that'll be fun to see on debut in Vegas. And again, Shadow Creek. We interviewed Taylor Montgomery, Korn Ferry Tour player. His dad is the GM at Shadow Creek. That's a great interview in the archives. You want to hear more about this venue? They hosted the first match, as you remember, between Tiger and Phil when they went to the dark and were playing the pitch and putt in the dark. So this is a venue that we've seen a couple times now on TV, but it is a world-class course, uber private venue in Vegas, and I'm excited to see the tour players on it this week.
Is that the playoff scenario that they're going to do that same pitch and putt?
Seriously, how great would that be? Imagine if they went 19th hole pitch and putt on a PGA Tour event. I mean, why not? That's a great idea.
That'd be great. It's like doing a shootout in hockey. I want to see this now at a major.
They should. You're right. They should reconstruct the 19th hole green. We'll throw that up on Twitter this week. I'm at Course of Life 1. You're at MWRINC. You'll be able to check my full card of who I like. I came close last week with Matt Wolf. I'm thinking that might be the podcast pick just to hit that button again. He seems very due, finished second at the U.S. Open, lost in the playoff here, playing really good golf. Why not stick with him another week in Vegas? I'll put my full card up on Twitter Wednesday afternoon, though.
We will keep an eye on that. Let's move ahead to pop politics. It was a loaded week. Before we get to the most famous mosquito in all the land.
Yes.
Let's talk about a land that you went to, you just got back from, you recorded from there last week during our episode last week. a land where COVID just doesn't really exist, just about 2 hours south of me.
Yes. Shout out to the state of Florida. Man, you and I know how beautiful it is to go down to Marco Island and what a treat that is. Mm-hmm. And being on the beach and the pool and whatnot, you're safe and sound there. But boy, that meme on Twitter you see where people take like a cleaver and they just chop the state of Florida off and let it drift into the ocean and separate it from the rest of the country. That is actually a real thing because it's like an alternate reality down there. Just businesses without any employees wearing any masks at all, let alone any patrons. And there is no 6 foot bubble at all down there. So that was a little daunting. Again, we spend most of our time beach and pool and outdoor dining to be on the safe side. But yeah, that was quite a startling experience. Something I hadn't seen in 8-9 months is just, you know, the mask free life. Definitely an interesting experience, but I did get the relaxation needed in paradise.
So what was it like being on the plane to get there and come back? Were you middle seats blocked? What was that experience like for you?
I was excited that we were Southwest Airlines. Middle seats were blocked. So myself and my wife had our own row. Planes on the way there were about 40% full. And then on the way back, it was COVID full, as they say, which was every single seat except for all the middle seats taken. I was dressed like a bank robber, and you saw the picture I posted on social media. Yeah. I was not playing around. I went mask, baseball cap, sunglasses, and a pair of gloves. To some, I looked like a lunatic, but I was playing it as safe as I possibly could. And hopefully made it out there safe and sound. I'll let you know in a week for sure. But it was an interesting experience. People following the rules for the most part at the airport, keeping the mask on, but definitely an interesting time to fly. It was a new normal experience flying, and I'll be doing it once again in a couple months, but it was an interesting time to say the least.
For sure. Yeah. Speaking of interesting times, let's talk about the vice presidential debate. I did not watch this between Mike Pence and Kamala Harris because I was still traumatized from the presidential debate the week prior. I just couldn't do it. But like everybody, let's talk about the one thing we all know about, which was the fly on Mike Pence's head.
Yeah, well, you know what flies tend to stink to, right? They tend to stick to garbage. So what happened essentially was a debate was fairly professional. It was shockingly professional, Mike, I would say, between Kamala Harris and Mike Pence.
Just saw between Trump and Biden, it was very professional.
Standards were low for that, yes. So on that note, it delivered very nicely. They were pretty cordial for the most part. A couple of interruptions, a couple of would you let me speak moments from Kamala Harris. But regardless, the moment that will overshadow everything that was said in that debate came about an hour and 10 minutes in when all of a sudden my wife shouted out, "Oh my God, there's a fly on his head." I said, "No way. Nah, they're in an indoor environment. How could this possibly happen?" And sure enough, I ran up to the TV and there it was, the fly just dangling on Vice President Mike Pence's head. And that sucker would not leave either. It went on for a wild ride, which was about a minute and a half long and felt like days though.
Yeah, you know, I think of two things when I think of the fly on Mike Pence's head. The first is the scene from Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark, where the fly goes into Renee's mouth, or looks like he does. One of the most famous scenes,
like that,
mistakes. Oh. So then I also think of a meme that I actually just saw, which I thought was hilarious. Which was that you've probably seen it. If that fly laid eggs, Mike Pence needs to carry him to term.
Oh wow! Yes,
his rules.
Good play. Yeah, that's you're just throwing his rules right back in his face right there. Actually, yeah, so,
that's the way it is.
The twins went flying as soon as the fly hit the head and landed there. Again, it was a minute and a half, but it felt like a day. A lot of people commented that they now know what it's like to watch the fly episode of Breaking Bad. Shout out to my Breaking Bad fans who know that reference. So the tweets and the memes were going crazy, and despite the fact that there were actual policies laid out for 90 minutes, we're all just going to remember the 90 seconds where the fly dominated the world in social media. Shout out to that fly.
We are. Let's finish our pop politics segment, a really long pop politics segment for today, with little Seinfeld, because we're gonna talk Seinfeld a lot. Of course, we're big fans of Seinfeld on the show, and Newman is back.
The postman.
The postman he's back. He's letting us know that we need to go vote and vote early because the Postal Service isn't going to deliver anything. They don't care.
Without the mail, there's no information, as Newman says. You know, the Postal mm-hmm. Service is the backbone of America. And Newman put on his mailbag and got out there to deliver the message to get the vote out however you can, whichever direction you're going. It was funny to see him. I haven't seen Newman's face in a while. He makes the occasional appearance on random sitcoms or network shows here and there. But good to see Wayne Knight back in action, the big guy.
Yeah, it was quite funny. He not officially Newman, but it was Newman.
We'll get to some more Seinfeld a little bit later as well.
We will. Let's get into this week's guest.
Yes, that's right. Ryan John, a fellow member of the Morning Read Golf Content Network. So shout out to our friends at Morning Read. We've been on that podcast network. You can go to morningread.com and check out all of our episode archives and episode descriptions there. And you can also check out Ryan too. Tricks of the Trade is what he does. So little coworker collaboration. And we got into everything that he's doing, not only as a trick shot artist and a pro golfer as well.
We'll get into that conversation with Ryan John in just a second. But first, we want to let you know it's brought to you by our friends at Groovit Golf, makers of the Groovit Golf Brush. It's sold out and in high demand because it does what the average golf brush cannot. The average brush has you searching for a source of water on the course, and there is none right now in the post-COVID world, really current COVID world. But this Groovit Brush has a built-in pump that sprays water or cleaning solution right onto the club face, allowing for a quick and efficient scrub on the course. While your average golf brush is stuck to your bag, the Groovit brush detaches with detachable magnets, making it easy to use. Plus, the brush comes with a 3-year bristle guarantee. If you can wear out the brush head cleaning golf clubs in 3 years, send it back and Groovit will give you a free replacement. That is incredible reliability. So prepare to be amazed with the consistency and control that Clean Grooves will give you. Using your existing golf clubs with the Groovit, you'll get the spin, trajectory, and consistency you're looking for. So head on over to grooveitbrush.com. You'll immediately be greeted with an email capture link so you can put in your email so you can know when it's back in stock. Again, that's grooveitbrush.com.
Next up on the tee from Jupiter, Florida, we have a pro golfer and occasional trick shot artist as well, who, just like our podcast, is also part of the Morning Read Golf Network of content. It's Ryan John joining the Course of Life. Ryan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Yeah, thanks for letting me come on today.
Absolutely. So again, you're part of the Morning Read family. Love the trick shot videos, and we'll get into those and everything you're doing golf-wise. Let's start with your college career, though. I just recently had a trip to Florida where I was literally seeing some dolphins on the Gulf of Mexico, and I know that you were a dolphin as a college athlete. Tell me what it was like playing college golf in Jacksonville.
It was pretty cool. Yeah, I was there from 2013 to 2017, and a great college golf team. We did pretty well my senior year. We made it to the NCAA finals in Chicago, which is pretty neat.
Nice.
First time in program history. But it was a great experience. I had a great coach who had played on tour for a couple of years and really kind of mentored me. And I was able to get my only college win my senior year, which was pretty cool. just a great time.
Who is your coach that coached you, that played on tour?
Mike Blackburn is his name.
Okay.
Mike Blackburn, he is now a teaching pro in Jacksonville. He also had a brother named Woody Blackburn who won a few times on tour.
Nice.
Back in the 70s and 80s. But just a great time for me.
Nice. And I'm sure you got some pretty nice dolphin swag. The Jacksonville Dolphins logo, I'd say maybe one of the cooler looking logos in college athletics. So I'm sure you got some gar, right?
I did. Yes.
Love it. And then one other thing I got to touch on, because I know you played golf in Jacksonville in college and you played a lot of golf in the area there, is we got to talk about Sawgrass. I can tell that you've definitely spent some time at that facility. Everyone knows TPC Sawgrass for hosting the Players Championship. What's your favorite part of going there there to that facility and playing and practicing there? Because that's somewhere where a lot of golfers see on TV, but don't quite have the opportunity to visit.
Right. No, it's definitely a special place. And if you can get down there, you definitely should. The facilities are just kind of second to none. They have a great practice area. they actually have two golf courses there. Not many people know about that, but they have the stadium course and then the valley course. And my college team hosted a college event on the valley course every year. But the practice areas are just phenomenal, and we were fortunate enough to practice there many times a week, and that really kind of helped us hone in on our games. And I would just say the practice facility, the range, the short game area is kind of second to none.
Yeah, it is massive. For anyone who hasn't seen pictures, be sure to look those up. And you're right, a lot of people don't know there's two courses. The Korn Ferry Tour actually had kind of an event that they filled in during this crazy golf schedule where they played the Valley course. So it was a good opportunity to see that, because we're so used to seeing the stadium course, you know?
Right, right. No, and the Valley Test can hold its own. It's a great track, pretty challenging. Yeah, so two great courses there.
How about Sawgrass? What's your best round there? How low have you gone?
My best round, I think, is a 69 from all the way back, which, I mean, I will take that any day.
Right.
And I think that I was actually fortunate enough to birdie number 17. But anyways, no, it's a pretty great course. They actually redid some of the course a few years back. It is a special place to play.
I was going to ask about a highlight for you on 17. Everyone knows that hole. One of the most famous in the world is the Island Green, completely surrounded by water through the par three. You said you birdied it. I mean, how close did you hit that shot for the birdie? And then have you seen anything crazy? Have you heard of a one on 17? Or I know a lot goes on that hole.
Yeah, so I've heard of a buddy of mine that made a hole in one. That day I had hit a 9-iron up there. I think it was about 10, 12 feet, and then made the putt. Anytime you can play that hole, you know, with a birdie, that's pretty special. But no crazy stories, really. If you can get on the green and, you know, make your par, you're going to be pretty happy.
That's the thing. Yeah, I have people who will, you know, tell me for the rest of their life that they hit the green the first try, and then I've got friends who put three balls in the water who'd rather not talk about the experience. Right. So it's a full range of emotion, for sure. So you spent a lot of time in Jacksonville, and then now, like I mentioned, you're based in Jupiter. And for people who don't know already, it kind of feels like Jupiter is like the unofficial pro golfer hub of the United States. When did you get there, and how's the experience been living in Jupiter?
Yeah, so Jupiter has kind of become the golf mecca for pro golfers. I was actually fortunate enough to move down here when I was 10. I was born up in Michigan and lived up there with my family until the age of 10, and then moved down here. So I've been down here for 15 years now, and was fortunate enough to kind of grow up down here and play lots of these great courses they have down here. But I've pretty much grown up in this Jupiter area, but it's been a great place to be for my pro journey so far. These past 3 years, you know, the competition is it's deep for sure. Lots of guys move down here just for that aspect of competition and the mini tours around here and places to play. So I would definitely recommend getting down here if you're a pro golfer.
Yeah, and I've seen just several amazing layouts where obviously the pros are playing regularly, and we got to get into just how deep that competition is. We've had lots of really cool different guests on from different mini tours, and they tell you how deep golf is now and what a grind it is to get into tournaments, and you know that better than anyone. A friend of mine, Ryan French, who runs the Twitter account for Monday Qualifier Info, he profiles these type of stories all the time. Talk to me about the Monday Qualifier circuit, because I know you go through it, the Monday Qs and the pre-Qs, and explain that grind and what that's kind of taught you about trying to be a professional golfer.
It's definitely a grind. You touched on that. That's probably the best word to describe it. Recently I've been doing quite a few of the Korn Ferry Tour Monday Qualifiers. I've done four in the past 6 or 7 weeks. I was up in Springfield, Illinois, and then Chicago, and then there was a week off, and then I one up in Savannah, and then last week Orlando. But I had I played well. Geez, I was 4 under in Springfield, and it took 8 under. I was 5 under in Chicago, and it took 7. And then 1 under these past couple weeks in Savannah and Orlando. And I believe those took 6. So, you know, and we aren't playing, you know, kind of rinky dink courses. They are, you know, challenging and 7,000 yard plus courses. So, that right there just kind of shows you how deep the field is. There's typically about 120 guys, and they only take 4. So you got to shoot a pretty good score that day with no mistakes.
Yeah, and you know the feeling. Like you mentioned, you shoot 4 under, miss by 4. It's like, what? I played a great round. I shot 4 under par. I don't get this. You know what I mean?
Right. No, it's, yeah, the competition nowadays is just so deep. A lot of guys trying what I'm trying. So.
Yeah, but the nice part is, you know, these opportunities the Korn Ferry Tour presents, if you have that great qualifier and you have a good week or two, you can string things together, get yourself more status. You know a guy who's probably a mutual contact of ours who you've seen on the range at those qualifiers, Joseph Winslow. He just Monday qualified for one last week, and he's definitely on our team. We've had him on the podcast, and he's in a very similar position to you. And you know that, you know, if you just get going for the right set of a few weeks and put together good finishes, it can change things quickly in terms of your status, you know?
Sure. Yeah. It's really all about timing. If you have a hot Monday and, you know, shoot 7, 8 under and get in the event and play well that week, you know, you can finish top 20, which then gets you into the next event. And it's just kind of a domino effect. So it's really all about being hot at the right time.
Nice. Well, looking forward to seeing you and Joseph get through more of those Mondays to get you on the full field events for Korn Ferry Tour in the near future. Let's talk about the trick shots now, because it's Ryan_John, J-A-H-N on Instagram. One of the cool parts about your trick shots is you've got your own little venue in the backyard. Tell me about the putting green you have that's featured and how much time a day you probably spend out there when you're making a typical trick shot video.
Yeah, I was definitely fortunate to have my my parents let me have the little putting green back there when I was younger. So I've had that for quite a few years now, and very lucky to be able to have that spot back there. But yeah, it was put in by a company named Southwest Greens, and they've done a great job. But yeah, that's kind of where I've honed my trick shot skills. It's a great place to practice chipping and putting and flop shots. But I spend quite a few hours back there, not only, you know, just practicing trick shots, but it's also a good place to practice actual, you know, technique sort of things for golf with chipping and putting. So I'm super lucky to be able to have that spot.
Nice. Yeah. And again, it's Tricks of the Trade on the Morning Read Network, which we're both a part of. We love the team over there at Morning Read, where you showcase all the different trick shot videos and content you put out. And let's talk about the flop shot skill specifically. Now, I like to pat myself on the back because I've had a couple of good flop shots on camera, but they're not quite as impressive as yours. I've seen you hit flop shots with every club all the way up to even a 3 iron. First off, how do you do that? And what kind of thoughts or tips can you give for people trying to get just slightly better at their flop shots?
Oh boy, well, make sure there's no other people around. That's
yes, definitely.
Number one. Definitely spread out. But gosh, I mean, that's something that I've just, wanted to kind of practice in the full round with since I was younger. I really take pride in my short game. And so the flop shot specifically has just been one that I really love kind of practicing and fooling around with. But I have just kind of taken different props that I have in the backyard, and I've kind of thought of ways to be able to use that prop or device to hit a flop shot around. So I've hit a flop shot over a storage bin, over a person. I use the three iron that you mentioned on that three iron shot. You just really have to open up and get that face wide open and swing across your body. But with those flop shots, just make sure you have that face a little open. There's no need to swing hard. The loft of the club should make you go high. So don't be afraid to kind of swing normally and swing smooth and make sure you reach forward. But that part does specifically with the flop shots has been fun aspect of the trick shots.
Definitely. Yeah. So there's the walk off, the brick bouncer, no looker, toe flop. These are all the things you can see Ryan produce in Tricks of the Trade on his YouTube and Morning Read. Who is the person you hit the flop shot over? Must be someone that's very close to you that you have a lot of commitment in, right?
My sister. Yeah. She you know, I'm really not sure why she trusted me actually. But she did. And we pulled that one off.
Nice. The one thing I wanted to comment about your misses too, I appreciate that you put the bloopers out so we can see the grind, and not only your pro golf grind, but your trick shot grind too. Your reactions to your misses, I think, are actually better than the reactions to your made trick shots. Which one of these trick shots on your Instagram took the longest time to record and had the biggest sigh of relief at the end?
Probably the one I had hit some sort of a pitch flop type of shot onto my screen, the screen that covers the pool area, and then it rolled back on the green and it landed on a square little brick, and then it flew back in the hole. That was one that actually got on SportsCenter Top 10, which was pretty neat. But that one took me a few days. I had gone out there one evening for, you know, 2 hours and I didn't get it. Then I came back the next day and finally got it. So that one definitely took, probably three and a half hours. But it was worth it for sure.
Man, probably pretty tough to sleep after you go out there for 2 hours and don't complete it, right? The tossing and turning.
So close. It was frustrating.
Love it. Again, it's Ryan John, trick shot artist, pro golfer. Ryan_John, J-A-H-N on Instagram. Let's talk about Jupiter life. Everyone jokes about Jupe life on tour. It's like, in my head, I have visions of like a TMZ celebrity tour bus where you could just like drive through Jupiter and see pro golfers left and right. I'm sure it's not that crazy, but who do you see out and about in Jupiter the most in terms of pro golfers people might know?
Gosh, out and about. I've seen Justin Thomas a couple of times. I was actually fortunate enough to play a course down here. It's one of the more well-known courses, the Bears Club. I was fortunate enough to play here last week, and I got to the range, and down a little ways on the right was Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas talking, and then Daniel Berger I saw on the putting green, and then at the back end of the range was Rory. So I was surrounded by just all these top 10 players, which is pretty cool. But, you know, most of them honestly kind of keep a low profile. I actually saw a Tiger once at his, restaurant down here in Jupiter called The Woods. But most of them do kind of keep a low profile. But like you said, no, this is the stomping grounds really for pro golf. There are so many guys around.
Very cool company to be in at that range for sure. You stole my notes, because the next question I was going to ask is if you've been to the woods, because I know I hear Tiger frequents that place a lot for sure.
A couple times. Yeah, that's Tiger's place. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Nice. And I also want to talk about Ricky Fowler, who you're basically best friends with. You had the opportunity to spend a day with him, and you know he has an unreal practice setup at his place. Tell everyone what Ricky Fowler's home and practice setup looks like, because it's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. I'm not sure if any of your followers have seen what Tiger's backyard looks like. Sometimes they've been able to take a picture or two of his backyard, but it's pretty similar. He's got about 100 yards to work with, and he's got a couple different greens, some bunkers, and the reason, you know, that I was able to go over to his place and meet him and try a trick shot with him was my relationship with Southwest Greens, which I mentioned put in the putting green. He also had his putting green and turf.
Oh, nice.
Put in by the same company. So was fortunate enough to kind of force that relationship. But really probably the coolest backyard I've ever seen. It is so cool. It's right on the water as well. So it's just a great spot.
Good stuff. He's a really cool guy. Looking forward to seeing him get back to his winning ways for sure. It's going to happen soon. Yeah. Big Ricky fans here on the podcast. I usually finish with a 19th hole question, but I'm going to circle back to the woods because I haven't been there. It's like a mystical place for golf fans. The restaurant that Tiger owns in Jupiter, Florida, where you live, Ryan. I guess what's your go-to if it's that you played 18 at the Bears Club and you're heading over to the woods for dinner? What do you typically like to order there, meal and drink wise?
They have a pretty good burger. Burger's definitely a go-to. And then a iced tea lemonade would be the drink. That combination, you just can't go wrong with that.
It's tried and true. Love the Arnold Palmer shout out as well, too. Again, Ryan, John, look forward to seeing more content from you on the trick shots and look forward to seeing you getting through more of those Monday qualifiers we see on the leaderboards more often. Thanks for joining.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
That interview with Ryan John is thanks to our friends at Desert Fox Golf, the makers of the Phone Caddy. It's a one-of-a-kind fold holder for golfers designed to mount right onto the golf cart. The Phone Caddy works seamlessly with almost any phone model and Velcros onto the cart in seconds, keeping your yardage and scoring apps at your fingertips. You can change music, answer calls and texts, and more all with the Phone Caddy. It's the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the golf course at all times. And Alex, it's October. That means it is officially holiday shopping season. And the Phone Caddy is a fantastic holiday gift for any holiday. It doesn't matter. It's great stocking stuffer. The size of it actually is great for a stocking.
It does fit inside a stocking. I can confirm that. And Orange, shout out to Orange for the Halloween fans as well, too.
Yeah, there you go. Comes in a great orange color and a lot of others as well. And right now you can save an extra 20% off your purchase with the promo code Course of Life. You can get one of any different colors, like we said, and make it your own or for whoever you're getting it for the holiday season. Again, head on over to desertfoxgolf.com. Use promo code Course of Life to save 20%. Go get your Phone Caddy and get one for a friend today. And we're back. Great chat there with Ryan. Alex, we're hanging out at the wrong driving ranges.
Yes.
Because I don't see any PGA Tour stars out on the range.
No, we're not quite hanging in Jupiter at the Bears Club, which is like the central destination. It's basically like walking Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles to see celebrities in terms of the golf world. So interesting. DJ and JT hanging out at the range. We wouldn't put the two of them together as range buddies, but nonetheless, there they were. And Berger on the putting green, Rory rolls up next to him. Mike, if I saw all four of those guys next to me at a driving range, I'm not sure I'd be able to take the club back and make contact. I'd be so nervous around them.
I think I'd just pack it up and walk away.
Yeah, that's the moment when you know to hang it up. But not Ryan. Shout out to him working on those Monday qualifiers, just like our buddy Joseph Winslow. He's going to get into one sooner or later here on the Korn Ferry Tour, and love the trick shot content as well. Be sure to follow him on Instagram. He's a great follow.
And if you liked that interview and everything else we do here on the podcast, if you're a Seinfeld fan, especially, you should really leave us a rating and subscribe because you'll get to hear more great interviews like that one with Ryan, hear us talk about Seinfeld like we're going to do again in a little bit, and a lot of other cool stuff. So go ahead over to your favorite podcast app that you're listening to us too. Leave us a rating and make sure you hit that subscribe button. All right, Alex, let's talk college football. Let's talk about it.
Let's do it. Another solid week, and my winning streak rolls on. It was not very pretty, but the picks went 5-3 on Twitter. Again, I'm at Course of Life 1, and I put out a card usually for Thursday, Friday, and a big one on Saturday for the full slate. So the streak rolls on, and Mike, the highlight of the weekend was the Red River rivalry between Oklahoma and Texas. You know how epic that rivalry is in Dallas every year. Two really desperate teams, and it went to quadruple overtime, where the Sooners finally got the W and beat the Longhorns. Crazy stuff.
It's just, I don't call it. You know what? I got to be honest. I don't care about college football anymore.
You're more of an NFL guy since your Giants are so successful.
Right? I really don't care about the NFL anymore.
Well, let's talk about the winless Giants, though, Mike, because they had a chance late. Oh, my goodness. Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones was throwing the ball all over the place. That score went flying over and still you lose at the buzzer. to a Zuerlein field goal. Cowboys got you by three there.
You know, it's a question of how devoted the Giants are going to be to the rebuilding process, about how long, whether they fire the head coach or not.
Yes.
How long will they let it go for?
So they're in the lottery along with the Jets as well, too. Shout out to New York football teams, since they're both winless, for tanking for Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback from Clemson, who looked amazing on Saturday night against Miami. So, Mike, you said that you think you're done with Daniel Jones. You're in on tanking for Trevor Lawrence and grabbing the Clemson QB. It sounds like you're in on that, right?
I don't know what to think anymore with the Giants. I mean, they haven't made good decisions since they fired Tom Coughlin without really giving him the due he was due, when they benched Eli with really way too soon in the season and didn't give him an opportunity to really leave on his terms again. You know, the Giants, I'm just really over the Giants in general.
Yeah, it was a tough week, and the Cowboys even overcame a gruesome injury from Dak Prescott. Mm. Shout out to him. Compound fracture, he'll be gone for the year. We hope he heals successfully, though. So Dallas going through all sorts of obstacles, but they eventually got the 3-point win against the Giants.
Is Jerry going to call up Tony Romo?
Yeah, Jesus, at this point, I don't know. The Red Rocket, Andy Dalton, is the quarterback in Dallas now. How crazy is that?
Goodness.
Times are changing, aren't they? Yeah.
And of course, it's been – let's talk about change. Let's talk about change in Tampa Bay, because Tom Brady seems like he's slowly starting to lose his mind, because he seems to think that it goes 1-2-3-3.
Yep, Tom Brady forgot to count to four last Thursday night in their loss to the Bears. And Mike, the Boston sports talk radio host that I listen to, said it best. Tom moved to Tampa Bay and got about 20% dumber as soon as he set foot down in that city. And it's showing now with that unbelievable moment of dementia, forgetting how to count the downs and losing in epic fashion to the Bears on Thursday Night Football. I just, as a disgruntled Patriots fan right now, boy, I feel real bad for him. Can you tell?
Well, let's ask this question. So here's an interesting question to ask about Tom Brady in general. So if you remember back when Tom got hurt, however many seasons it was ago, and he was out for almost the entire season
six,
for the
seven,
Patriots.
Eight, yeah, long time. Yeah,
the talk was all, now we're going to see that the team is not good because of Tom. The team is good because of the system Bill Belichick has put in place. And the team did okay. Didn't do great. The team did okay, right?
11-5, but missed the playoffs that year.
Yeah, they did pretty well. Okay. Now this team, you see that you need a good enough quarterback to be successful. Tom Brady's not good enough anymore.
Yes, and Cam Newton is good enough, but unfortunately, he's got this thing called the coronavirus, which is a real mother effer right now, and it's screwing up the Patriots season. Stephon Gilmore
screwing up positive after screwing up the entire NFL season.
Yeah, we ruined things for like eight different NFL teams. The schedule, like monkey bars that they're doing right now, the gymnastics are unbelievable.
You put a mouse down in this maze of a schedule and put cheese on the other end, and the mouse is not going to find the cheese.
Yes, I know. So the Patriots essentially lost their bye week because of their positive test. They're going to play Denver again eventually this Sunday, we think, based on what happens in the next few days. But yeah, I would love to get Cam Newton back so we can continue this experiment of who really is the bigger piece of the pie, Brady versus Belichick. I still in my head say it's like 55-60% Belichick, 40% Brady, but that's TBD. We got to see some more games as the season plays out.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. At least your team has more to look forward to, unlike my Giants. And let's just get it over with, unlike my Yankees.
Oh, no. Yeah, wasn't this a shame? I really, really hate to see this, Mike. Really hate to see
that. You know what, though? At least I still have a head coach. My team made the playoffs. My future is bright.
These are facts.
How are your Red Sox?
Not good right now. We're wondering if we can bring Theo Epstein back and lure him away from the Cubs. That's where we're at. We're trying to repave the path from 15 years ago to see if we can find any of that magic. That's basically where things are at there. And yes, like you saw, the Tampa Bay Rays are now far better than the Red Sox as well, which is something I never like to say. As they beat the Yankees and advanced the ALCS, they're rolling through right now against the Astros, already up 2-0 in that series. So I think they're well on their way to a World Series appearance for the Rays.
You know, the Astros can't be banging trash cans if there's no fans in the crowd to drown out the noise.
They cannot. No. Yeah. They're working small crowds back in here in Arlington for the NL as well, too. We're going to see small crowds for the World Series, but yeah, not quite that same vibe So shout out to the Rays for getting it done against the Yankees, and it looks like they're on their way to a World Series appearance.
Speaking of hoisting championship trophies,
yeah,
let's talk about the Lakers and LeBron James, who has now won the championship with four different teams and has been the MVP on four different teams.
Three different teams, four rings. But basically,
right, there you go. Thank you.
The bottom line is that my time and my width as a LeBron James hater is running very thin right now. I'm running out of material year by year as this happens. help me, Mike. Give me anything besides the bubble asterisks. That's all I got right now.
I don't think I'm a LeBron hater. I'm not a fan of LeBron. I appreciate his play.
Absolutely.
He's certainly one of, you know, he's certainly continuing to cement his place as one of the top three players of all time. But I think what continues to make me struggle with really liking LeBron is that he's not doing it with one team. He's bouncing around. And that there's something about being as good as he is and doing it with one team for your career.
I know, and I was saying that too, but then I started thinking now, I was like, geez, wow, he won in Miami. He had a lot of help there. He won in Cleveland with very little help, a little bit from Kyrie and Kevin Love. And then he just went over to LA and said, oh, you don't think I can get it done in the Western Conference? And then he got it done there. So now, like, I'm almost in my head thinking it might be more impressive that he's doing it with this many teams and winning championships this way. He's getting to me. Bottom line, shout out to LeBron James. Unbelievable performance in the playoffs. I rarely say that, but tip my cap to him for sure. I mean, you and I are kind of in the same space. It's like I've got Tom Brady in the same kind of conversation. Six rings, but everyone refused to give him that GOAT title until he got to six and passed the franchise and passed Montana at four. So I'm going to be steadfast and say he's still got Kobe at five rings and he's still got MJ at six rings. Those are the two mountains he climbs. If he gets to those six, I am all out of material on the LeBron James hatred. That's where it's at for me.
I mean, I still think MJ may be the better player. But, well, you know, that's another conversation for another day, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, here's what's going to happen is LeBron's going to go to the Bulls and he's going to win one of the Bulls, too. And then he's really going to shut me up. And he'll be like, there, just threw it in your face in MJ City. How about that? And so, well, we'll see what the...
If he really wants to show how good he is, he needs to go to the worst team in the NBA and win within two seasons. Oh, wait, he just did that with the Lakers.
Shout out to LeBron and the Lakers. And a perfect segue to our hashtag always end with food, because Lakers fan Ryan Rotman, friend of the show, gave us a great suggestion for what we're about to talk about. Hashtag always end with food, brought to you by BeFree CBD, promo code COL30, my favorite CBD that I use before my golf workouts. Lakers won. And Ryan Rotman, again, friend of the show, great actor. You'll see him in some Hallmark Christmas movies coming up in a couple weeks, Mike. It's almost that season already. We're already there, but he went to a really cool event in West Hollywood. They were doing a Seinfeld brunch pop-up menu. And I'm going to pull up the menu right now because we need to
go through it.
First, I want to just kind of get your thoughts and your highlights on the Seinfeld brunch pop-up menu, and then we'll fill in the blanks for what was missing.
Other than the challah, I don't think there's a lot here that actually speaks to Seinfeld.
Yeah, tons in terms of the titles of the menu items. Mm. Those are spot on, but they didn't quite hit on a lot of the funny little foods that get brought up within the nuances of the show. For any of the Seinfeld fans who know it well.
There's no marble rye that I can see on here. We reference no soup for you on this menu, but there's no soup. I know it's breakfast, but you can make a breakfast soup. There's no lobster egg dish.
That was a great shout out when you told me that the other day. I was like, wow, yes, the famous lobster scrambled eggs that George cooked so delightfully and fed
the
vegetarian as well, too. Yeah.
It shrinks in the water.
That was a great moment, but it makes them taste so good. Still have yet to try those lobster eggs. I think I might do that soon. I got some lobster sitting in the freezer. But the other one I had to bring up, I don't see any babka at all here. I was looking for a chocolate or maybe even a cinnamon babka.
Cinnamon. The answer is always cinnamon.
I think something that they could have added, which is really simple, is they could have just done a nice sandwich with the paper thin deli meat that Kramer sliced on his meat slicer and fed to the cat, Erlaine. That would have been a nice touch. And then the final thing, shout out to one of George's girlfriends. There's no risotto here. There's no risotto at all. Classic George Costanza date moment that was missed on this menu, but a great array of us on here.
And I'm just reminded of this because I've been watching Seinfeld maybe every other day, like I do. I don't know why no one else watches Seinfeld almost every day. There's no succulent duck that looks like it's even more succulent than we could have imagined.
Yes, that's right. Oh my God, you're jogging my brain right now. Now I'm thinking we need an unsanitary dish delivered by Poppy with unwashed hands too. I mean, shout out to coronavirus, right?
It's true. It's true. But, you know, I am actually this week, speaking of Seinfeld, I'm going to be making a classic Seinfeld item.
Which one?
I'm going to be looking to the cookie and making a black and white cookie.
Shout out to the bakery, the black and white cookie, the great uniter.
Yeah. Yes. Now more than ever.
I mean, if ever we need a black and white cookie to unite this nation, it is right now that we must look to the cookie. Yes.
We must look to a cookie.
I'm excited to see how this turns out for you. It's really what I'm looking for you is that I don't have high standards for the taste. That's up to you. But for the look and the Instagram, I just need to see that nice clean line with the 50-50 split.
Perfect. I mean, that is what's going to be the hardest thing about this is that I'm not a great decorator. So we're going to see how well I can do this. But check out my Instagram. I'll post pictures of the whole process on my Instagram.
Love that. Very exciting. Shout out to the Seinfeld Brunch pop-up menu and Ryan Rotman for visiting that. You can check out his Instagram as well for the full menu. Thanks again for hopping on, Mike. Another fantastic episode of The Course of Life. We will see you all next week. We'll be right back.